You may have noticed, or not noticed, that deer hunting season is underway. I believe that we are missing students here today for that reason. I'm not going to make an issue of that. But some people would. Not the absence from school, but the activity of hunting. We know about animal rights activists and people who refuse to eat meat, not because of dietary concerns, but because they think it's wrong to kill the animal. Obviously, we don't think that way. Is there meat on the lunch today? Meat's on the menu in the cafeteria on a regular basis. So which is it? Is meat equal to murder? Or shall we think of hamburgers and other meat products as blessings from God, as part of the food He wants us to have? We can go to the Lord, creator of both the hunter and the hunted, creator of both the butcher and the cow, for His answer, which comes in words that He spoke shortly after the flood to Noah, to all of you and me. Genesis 9. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your life blood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God He made man. It is clear from this text that butchering cattle for beef or hunting deer under the confines of what the government requires, these are not sinful activities. But it is the sin of murder if you, I, or anyone else take another person's life. God has protected human life under the fifth commandment, and you heard some of the reasons why. God has made and placed man, people, at a higher level than animals. Also, God has placed animals under people to serve them according to their needs. More importantly, though, God made people with a spiritual component. They have souls that live on after death and face the judgment of God. God made Adam and Eve, and potentially He wanted to make us perfectly in His image, an image that was lost. And when that happened, God formed a plan to restore it. God made Adam and Eve and all their descendants to be in a relationship with Him that is based on perfect love and righteousness. It's a relationship that people can acquire during their time on earth. And so God gives them their life and seeks to preserve and protect it as their time of grace. What about animals? Do they face the prospect of hell for unbelief? Unheard of. We wouldn't think that. No reason to. Do animals in the animal world decide to have a court trial when the wolf takes down the deer and proceeds to make him lunch? Unheard of. Doesn't happen. But it happens in the world of people, doesn't it? People have a conscience that feels bad for treating other people badly. People in cultures around the world have jails for those who commit murder and other serious crimes. Why is that? The Bible shows you that this moral difference between people and animals is the result of man being made in the image of God. And the human sense of morality, as flawed as it is a leftover condition from how God originally made us. Now, let's apply all these realities to ourselves. When God gives you your life on earth, this is a precious opportunity you have to find out who the true God is and know Him personally by faith in Christ. Once you have that faith, you are in the relationship with God you're supposed to have, one that is based on His love for you and the righteousness of Christ given to you, the forgiveness of sins handed over to you and me. What about other people who do not have this at the present moment? Well, we heard about that in our Sunday worship at Messiah this weekend. God leaves us in this world to help others find out who Jesus is before the end comes. Certainly your Savior had something to say about another important difference between you and all people compared to the animals. As a reminder to us not to worry about things like food and clothing, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" When his critics found fault with Jesus healing on the Sabbath, the Lord replied to that, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep?" Obviously, people are more valuable to God than animals. We know it's true because of what Jesus said and because of what He did. He became one of us, a human, to save us from our sins. He became one of us to take on our death and our hell, to suffer in our place, to have His blood shed as a result of murder, no less. He did that for you and me, not for deer or cows or your pets. They don't need redemption. You do. I do. And so He became the Savior of people. Based on the order of creation and also on the order of salvation, we can have a right perspective on these things. First of all, animals are gifts from God to be handled according to His will, which includes the principle of good stewardship. They are not to be neglected, tortured, or killed senselessly. Neither are they to be worshipped or placed on a level higher than what God intended them to have. On the other side of the issue, you are not in the category of an animal, in spite of what the evolutionists might claim to the contrary. You are a person created to be with God, a person redeemed by the sacrifice of His own Son. Something, by the way, that God did not do for the angels who rebelled against Him. Yeah, what about the angels? God sends them to serve you. Add that all up. What highly valued creatures we are. What great honor and loving care God has bestowed on all of us, and to think that we deserve none of it. Add that to your Thanksgiving list. Reasons we have not only to be thankful, but to praise the Lord for all of His gracious ways of treating you and me, His people in Christ. We do that today, singing hymn 744. 744, stanzas 2 and 3.